Eastern Ukraine, modern days. One combat trench line stands in front of another. Between them, there's hundreds of meters of scorched earth. It could be a minefield or a field of ash. This no man's land is what separates Ukraine from Russian-controlled militants who have been waging war in the Donbas for 8 years. It's this same front line that is now facing a new, large-scale loop of Russian invasion. Our defense journalist, Ilya Ponomarenko, who comes from a war-afflicted town and who has covered battles in the Donbas for years, compares this front line to that of World War I, except on a smaller scale.
The days are the same for years. It's very routine. Sometimes they have fire exchanges. Sometimes you can hear the buzz of some small drones. Sometimes, drones drop grenades, hand grenades upon trenches. It's very routine.
But this half-frozen conflict might soon escalate. Russia unleashed its war against Ukraine in 2014, following the nationwide uprising known as the Euromaidan Revolution that defined the country's course for future, towards the West, away from Russia. But Moscow wouldn't have it. It first occupied Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula, then it invaded the eastern Donbas, creating a never-ending conflict that put a burden on Ukraine's economy and made it unattractive to NATO. Since 2015 and 16, the conflict has shifted to the trench-level war, but in its active stage, it had full-blown battles. Over the 8 years of Russia's war, more than 13,000 people were killed. Millions of people were displaced. When this November the Kremlin was spotted massing nearly 100,000 combat-ready troops on Ukraine's border and in the occupied territories, the Western and Ukrainian intelligence raised the alarm. Multiple reports stated that Russia might be preparing an all-out war against Ukraine in early 2022. Ukraine has again found itself in the spotlight of global attention. And so did our defense and security reporter, Ilya, who has been a vital source for many Western media outlets trying to get an accurate picture of the situation on the Russian-Ukrainian border. We briefly introduced Ilya in our third episode of Media in Progress: Who, What, Where? Checking in on him as he worked 24/7 to keep everyone informed with the latest developments concerning the security crisis.
In this day of war crisis, we journalists, we all have it hard, of course. But, this is the thing that we do. We do not complain. So in the crisis time, we do our best to make the best contribution we can.
The Kyiv Independent's top five stories on the website are all about Russia's aggression against Ukraine, and Ilya wrote three of them. One of his most recent articles, about a Russian court accidentally documenting Moscow's military presence in the Donbas, tripled the number of daily visits to our website last Sunday. The traffic actually looked suspicious and resembled a directed attack, but we haven't been able to confirm that it was. My name's Alina Lyamkent. I'm a producer of Media in Progress, documenting the Kyiv Independent's start as an English-language publication reporting from Ukraine. Here, we share insights into the process of building a new media company and introduce our team members. Ilya is one of the bright and vital reporters of the Kyiv Independent. He hails from the small town of Volnovakha in the Donbas, eastern Ukraine. Ilya moved to Mariupol, 70 kilometers south from his hometown, to study international relations, and it was during his time as a student that the Euromaidan Revolution sparked. Although he wasn't in Kyiv, where the main uprising happened, Ilya, alongside 14 fellow students and a few professors, hit the streets of Mariupol to show support.
Just remember myself holding the EU flag and leading the crowd, the small army of students. But those were happy days.
The happy days were replaced by the dark time soon, when Russia started its invasion in the east.
When the war was unleashed, we witnessed this as kids, as students. I saw the earliest days of this whole ordeal, I mean, the occupation of the city, the city being in isolation, no authorities, in anarchy. Invasion was never something that was happening in just one moment. That was a prolonged process. It all started with something really small. Pro-Russian protesters just taking over the downtown Mariupol. So even after several weeks of this whole mess, nobody really believed that we are facing a big war. Certainly not the kind of war that we've been having for like 8 years.
Ilya tried to join the army twice, but was rejected due to health reasons. when he came across a BBC article reporting on Mariupol that had a section for locals who were witnessing the events to leave their contact information, he decided to participate. BBC World News Service reporters would call Ilya at 4 in the morning twice a week to check in on the situation on the ground and have him speak live on the radio. But he decided to return to his hometown of Volnovakha to be with his family. There, he worked for a local newspaper, which he describes more as a leaflet with many ads and crosswords.
I decided to kind of become a journalist, and I worked illegally in the front line because I started making friends among the military officers, among the civil military cooperation groups.
The military officers wouldn't take Ilya on combat missions, but allowed him to sit among the military units doing their regular daily duties. He would simply join them to get deployed to the front line for a day or two. He then would write short reports from the war zone for the local newspaper, finding a way to help his community and support his military friends on the front. After 2 years of reporting from the front line, Ilya decided to move to Kyiv. Moving to the capital with just a backpack and $100 in his pocket, he spent months looking for a job, surviving on a cake a day until he found one at Ukraine Today, a former private English-language satellite television channel. But 2 months into his job, the team was told that the media company was being shut down due to financial reasons. That's when Ilya ended up at the Kyiv Post. And within just 2 weeks of accepting his position, Ilya was deployed back east, now as an officially accredited journalist. Ilya's stories were to grace the cover of the Kyiv Post weekly print editions every 3 to 4 weeks.
I had some of my favorite front pages from that period. So my first year at the Kyiv Post was basically among the trenches.
Ilya's reporting has taken him from the Donbas frontline to around the world, with the 29-year-old deployed to Palestine and the Democratic Republic of Congo as an embedded reporter with UN peacekeeping forces. And now, as a defense reporter at the Kyiv Independent, his work is nonstop. And everyone asks him the same question.
Are we having a war? A big war. So this is the number one question, of course. I keep giving interviews each and every day almost. But also I'm getting questions from my friends, from people that I know. So everybody was curious, is this it? Is this what we have? And so do I get my Kalashnikov for my wardrobe or what? My answer is no. I think that's pretty obvious right now, this spot after like months of this crisis. It's pretty clear that what Russia does is the intimidation campaign to extort political concessions from the West in terms of many things, I believe, in terms of Ukraine and its membership with NATO, probably, or in terms of Nord Stream 2 getting certified by Germany because they're in trouble right now. In terms of many things, you know, because we're having the second crisis of this kind in this year. And I believe the Kremlin has seen that this intimidation campaign and the spread of war scare, it's a very effective and powerful tool of political pressure upon the West. So basically what they are doing is they trying to extort political concessions without giving almost anything in return.
Ilya doesn't think that Putin wants to risk the economic consequences of an expensive all-out war, spending millions trying to break a country whose front lines have yet to be demoralized, despite a long 8 years with no clear end in sight. The West, fortunately, is preparing to take action against Russia in case there is indeed a further large-scale invasion. The European Parliament passed a resolution that top Russian officials would be sanctioned. Russia would not have access to the SWIFT payment system, potentially destroying the already crumbling Russian economy.
Russian elites, the whole Kremlin inner circle, they prefer to make money in Russia, but to hold their money and their assets and their villas in the West, in the US, they all have apartments in Miami, they all have villas in Italy, in France. So obviously they're not super happy, they would not be super happy to say goodbye to them.
In fact, this war scare may have backfired in a sense, leading the West to give more support to Ukraine.
You know, we just got a bill from the US Senate, as many as $450 million would be allocated to help Ukraine's defense. And also they consider providing us with advanced weapons that we need right here and now. And NATO also is coming up with a strong statement that saying that, you know, you're going to have your economy destroyed if you invade Ukraine.
Strong statements and positions are key when dealing with Russia, according to Ilya.
This is what works, you know. Russians are not impressed by your drive towards, you know, stability, to diplomacy, to your peace-loving attitudes. They are nuts about that. They have this mindset of street talk, you know. As someone from Donbass, I do understand that mindset. It comes from very Soviet way of thinking. I mean, these people think like Soviet time street kids. They're not impressed by your peace-loving and your dovish attitude. What they are impressed is your ability to respond to your intimidation, to your attack with a good old punch in the face. This is how it works with these peoples.
It's good that the West is taking a stronger stance after the war scare that has flooded social media in recent weeks. But more needs to be done. As Russia continues to fight a hybrid of war, not only physically, but online, with a massive disinformation campaign, bot attacks trying to influence foreign understanding of the actual events surrounding Russia's aggression in the East, journalists like Ilya and their work are essential. And as for Ukraine, Ilya believes it needs to carry on.
No matter what, Ukraine needs to continue building the most effective and combat-ready armed forces possible, and the world needs to continue paying attention to helping Ukraine.
Ilya is among many of our passionate reporters at the Kyiv Independent. If you would like us to continue our important work, you can support us by reading and sharing our articles so that more people are informed about the current events in Ukraine. You can go a step further and donate to our GoFundMe campaign or subscribe to our Patreon account. Links to both you can find on our website, kyivindependent.com. Our podcast will return in the beginning of January. And from the entire staff of the Kyiv Indie, we wish you a happy holidays and upcoming new year.